days, seriously, there are days where we could stand a little more time.
Yeah, yesterday. We could have got to the last word, but we just ran out of time.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, I've been holding on to that last word since yesterday. So I better get it out of my system today. Let me get to a couple announcements before I get back down, because I want to comment on what Herb had to say before we got to the break. And I apologize for that, Herb, because I do want to comment on it. But very quickly, on Thursday, the Thursday Forum, a meeting at the Library of the Birmingham Temple at 28611 West 12 Mile between Inkster and Middlebelt and Farmington Hills, not far from here. On Thursday, September 22nd at 10:30 a.m., a congressional and legislative redistricting, what it means to you, Oakland County Treasurer Andy Meisner and Elsa Schartzis are the speakers. Harry Cook will introduce the topic and lead the discussion. So if you'd like to go to that, that's Thursday morning at 10:30 a.m. at the Birmingham Temple Library. Okay, the Birmingham Temple Library, and we'll make sure we mention this again tomorrow, since it is tomorrow after the show. And so those of you that want to go, make plans to go out there. The American Postal Workers Union members, family, friends, and the general public are invited to join the APWU next Tuesday, September 27th, between 4 and 5:30 p.m. for a day of action to save the America's Postal Service. It's to be held at the office of Representative Candace Miller on 48701 Van Dyke in Shelby Township. For more information, please see their website at apwu480.org, apwu480.org. So go check that out, and wanted to make sure I get that in. Now, before I get into my postal story, which I want to talk about, my first word today was postal, but not in the way that it's been used lately. Let me just comment briefly on what Herb had to say. Yes, the second, I agree, Herb, the second bridge is does help with regard to homeland security and safety. No question that's true. If one bridge were to be harmed, and we talked about this on the show some months back, it would really slow down commerce coming into the United States. It would either have to come in through Buffalo, New York, Port Huron to some extent, because the tunnel just wouldn't do it. It wouldn't be able to handle the traffic, nor the loads, for that matter. So, yeah, that would certainly be an issue. As far as not being able to fund it, if they were to get halfway or three-quarters of the way through, you know, the contract would clearly state, you know, they would be responsible for their own overruns. But you're right, you know, Herb, at the end of the day, if that's what's holding it up, you're right. There, somebody would have to throw the money in there. And I don't see it happening, but it certainly could happen. So you make two very good points, and I did not want to let them go unnoticed. So thank you for the call. I just wish we would have had more time. Jeff, have you noticed we get a lot of calls right at the bottom of the hour all the time?
Yeah, it's like almost as if callers don't realize what a clock hour is.
Well, they don't, of course.
I never did when I was before I got into the business. I had no idea. You know, did you know most commercials are 30 seconds or a minute long? It's like I didn't even think about it when I was watching TV or listening to the radio.
Right. Well, anyway, I feel bad because, you know, Amir does. Amir calls a lot at the bottom of the hour. He calls it 7:30 a lot. And it's like, dude, you're not giving me enough chance to even let you say what you want to say.
Oh, you know that when he calls in, you tell us to go to break early. I am so just joking.
Don't,
we actually have
oh
set time.
God.
We have set times that we have to hit a break.
All right.
I was just trying to start something.
We
there.
Call it a hard clock, which means that we don't have the ability to hold. I guess we do have the ability, don't we? If we wanted to, could we
like
hold it?
Breaking, it would, I mean, yeah, it would be something unusual, unique circumstances.
But I don't like a floating clock hour, which means you just kind of take the break whenever you want. I've never liked that.
Me
so
either.
I like the hard clock hour, and that's what we've got, and we stick to it. And, you know, and I just, again, I just feel bad when people call right up against the break where we just can't. I mean, it's like we've got enough time to get them on, but not enough time, especially when you got a guest. It makes it hard.
You know what's weird about thinking about the bridge to somewhere? Is it that, say they did run out of money and you wanted to, you know, send an email off to your congressman?
Don't be a union member and don't do it for work.
You could go to jail for a year.
Absolutely.
Just worrying about a bridge being built.
Absolutely. That's a crazy law. Let's come back to that. I do want to mention this. The Postal Service is continuing to abandon the city of Detroit. You'll remember I had Christopher Ulmer on with us just before I went on vacation, the week before I went on vacation. He is the president of the local American Postal Workers Union in Detroit. The U.S. Postal Service management is proceeding with its ongoing campaign to degrade service to the citizens of the city of Detroit by announcing its intentions to, quote-unquote, study closings of half of the post offices in geographic Detroit. Fully 12 post offices presently open to the public, okay? While mail would continue to be delivered from the various offices being, quote-unquote, studied for closure, retail postal services such as stamp purchase, passports, migratory bird stamps, and money orders would not be available to the citizens in the affected areas of Detroit. If the United States Postal Service moves forward with ending retail postal services at the quote-unquote studied offices, virtually the entire west side of the city of Detroit and the city of Ferndale will be left without access to such retail postal services. As presently contemplated, only the College Park Station at Livernois and 8 Mile would remain open to the public. There would be no post offices available to the public from just west of 8 Mile all the way down to the Detroit River. Think about that. Detroiters would have to go to east of Livernois or go to suburban post offices downriver, west or north of the city. That's just wrong. All right? This continues a trend of reducing service to the Detroit area, which has been ongoing for some time. In recent years, Detroit postal management has closed the highly lucrative post offices at the Metropolitan Airport, a small office on Joy Road near Linwood, and several small retail offices in Midtown and even downtown Detroit. As required by law, public comment and information meetings must be held in each neighborhood concerning the intended closure. Local United States Postal Service management has scheduled meetings in the 12 affected areas all on the same day, September 29th, 2011. However, it's my belief anyway that these meetings have been very minimally publicized to prevent large attendance. The public is generally unaware of the places and times, just as the public is largely unaware that the Detroit postmark left the city almost 2 years ago. All Detroit mail is now canceled in Pontiac. Did you know that? I bet you didn't. The American Postal Workers wish to bring the U.S. Postal Service abandonment of Detroit to the attention of all of us, and they may be contacted during normal business hours. For more information, stay tuned here. Jeff, really? I mean, isn't it enough at the federal level they're rocking us? Now they're doing this at the local level?
You got to get them on all fronts. That's how they're thinking.
Yeah, let's just kill the United States Postal Service.
Well, you know what? Here's a solution to the previous problem that we were just talking about. Instead of writing an email and going to jail, write an actual letter at work to your congressman and send it through the Postal Service.
Well, that would be legal.
Not only is it legal, but it's supporting the Postal Service.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You got to find a post office.
Dang it. They always get us.
See, just when you thought you had it, yeah, sure, you can send a letter. You can do it during work hours. You can even use work stationery because there's no law against that. But you've got nowhere to mail it.
That's a problem.
That is a problem. Man, oh, man. This is just wrong. Hey, we had Cindy Estrada on yesterday, as obviously you're aware, because you did a nice promo using her interview yesterday.
By the way, did you hear the recent promo?
From her?
No. In the last break, we played a promo from Mark Gaffney.
No.
Yeah, we already got it done, so I threw it in there real quick.
No, I was out getting coffee.
Oh, okay. But yeah, Cindy Estrada's promo was really good as well.
Yeah, well, anyway, yesterday after the show, of course, you let the show take credit for this. Governor Rick Snyder has ordered the state to conduct a study examining whether the state has too many bosses.
The promo.
Yeah, Governor Snyder sent a letter yesterday. On last Thursday, so it happened well before the show. Sorry.
Because he knew that the promo was coming.
Absolutely. You're right. He did, because we do send him our itinerary for future shows. But Governor Snyder sent a letter last Thursday to the state's personnel director telling him to look at all the managers and see if they can cut out some fat. So I think that, you know, one of the things that we can be proud of with labor, this continuation, this continuum group, This consolidated group of unions, which Cindy Estrada is the chief spokesman for, that they're making a difference in that regard. We got to take a break here. We'll come back and wrap it up on the other side. Would still love to hear from some General Motors workers on what you think of the new contract. Of course, you are all probably working now, right? 888-552-3595. Let's take the break. We'll wrap it up on the other side.
We spend federal money to save money. Where is the limit? I think we could reach a point of absurdity.
I think you just did.
On 1310
WDTW.
I'm making burgers, honey. Do you want one or two? Why are you looking at me like that? Oh, I mean, would you like to double down?
I'm in.
Yeah, he still feels it. He's been to MGM Grand Detroit with more than 4,000 of the best slots, over 90 table games, and so much more. It's hard to shake the feeling.
And we have a winner. Here are your chips.
Mmm, thanks.
It's time to play at MGM Grand Detroit.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
For contractors, business comes from bids. And better bids start at the Home Depot, where right now you can save 15% on special order windows and doors. That means putting great brands and great quality into any job at an even better price. So if you're a pro, get that 15% savings, then get ready to lower your estimates, be more competitive, and bring on the business. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Through September 28th, U.S. only, see store for details.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now, the new president of the Michigan Education Association, Stephen Cook. Why don't the teachers just finally say, enough's enough, we're going to strike?
It's not off the table, but it's just not something that teachers want to do. They want to teach. They don't want to strike. I think they're, in many respects, asking the MEA on their behalf and with their assistance, certainly, to deal with some of these folks.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Absolutely. We're here for hire. I'm watching MSNBC here in the studio, and they just didn't, and I only have the crawl on. For the hearing and or the seeing impaired, whatever you call that. And they've got this Michelle Bachmann walking around a meat cooler with bunches of sides of beef. Have you been? Do you have that on in the studio, Jeff? MSNBC?
No.
No. Well. I'm not quite sure why she was meandering around a bunch of sides of beef, but it was kind of interesting. You know, she had her winter coat on because it's cold in those coolers.
Of course. You would hope so, at least.
And, you know, I'm sure she's just supporting the cattle industry. By the way, her support is down to 5% in the latest polls. For what that's worth.
5%.
5%. So she went from being a top two candidate to being a bottom tier candidate. 5%. 5%.
Meanwhile, it sounds like that isn't Sarah Palin's rising for some reason?
Well, she was at 7% the last I looked, but she's not a candidate, so why would I pay attention to her?
Oh, right. I know. Why is anyone? That's why I was wondering why she's moving up.
Because though there's a couple reasons. The biggest one for me is that she lives across the street from Russia.
That's true. The proximity is just is one reason to keep a.
I will never get over that video that we watched.
Well, compromising is for losers.
That's right. You don't have to compromise when you're right.
That's my favorite cut. Well, one of my favorite cuts from that.
Yeah, it's great. It's absolutely great. So I got an email yesterday from somebody that that doesn't write very well. So I'm going to read it verbatim, and there's actually a point to it at the bottom, but I'm going to read it verbatim. The subject was the Tony Show. Okay, that was the subject of the email. It says the hypocrisy of it all. I don't believe you for even one millisecond. Most every human being aspires to better themselves. I want the ability to spend my money as I see fit, to which you respond, so do I. But you do not risk your savings to invest in this business, and you know about business investment risk. You talk percentages, you say your is larger, but talk dollars for a minute. So Buffett's secretary pays 29% on her $40,000 salary. You think that's more significant than 8% on $30 billion, or do you fail math? Bottom line, wealthy Americans still pay over 50% of all taxes in this country. You compare it to the percentage you pay, you cry foul. But fact is, you're really jealous of what they make. That's the whole email. I read it verbatim. And, okay, so it's bizarre in and of itself. I think the point, Jeff, that this person was trying to make was that, you know, percentage-wise or dollar-wise, they pay more.
Right.
Just not percentage-wise.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what I think the point of that was, which is ridiculous.
Of course.
I mean, it's not ridiculous. It is true. The dollar-wise, they're supposed to pay more. Percentage-wise, though, it makes it ridiculous.
Or do you fail math? Or did you fail math? Or do you fail math, man? Do you fail math? No, I did not fail math.
I thought, did you read, I mean, I don't know, we didn't really bring it up, but I did post it on Facebook yesterday because Chris Mialakis had sent me a text showing me the Mavericks owner, Mark Cuban, and his blog. Did you read the blog he wrote?
Mm-hmm.
That is outstanding. Be a patriot, get rich, and pay your taxes. It's the most patriotic thing you can do. The more money you make, the more you should pay in taxes, and take pride in that. I mean, there's a part in there, I'm paraphrasing here, but it sounds to me like the sentiment was, you know, because you're rich, because you have a whole lot of money, take pride in the fact that you are helping support more people in this country than if you didn't have money and you could only support a few. You know, like a middle-class person who pays taxes, you're still giving, you know, you're still helping the country out. But, again, you can't help out as much as a guy who has lots of money. You should be patriotic if you're rich and want to help the country further itself and advance itself.
Well, that was the point he was making, absolutely, and I, of course, agree with him. If, as I have made different amounts of money in my life, as I've made more, I've paid more. If I've made less, I've paid less. You know, that just goes without saying. I like it when I pay more because that means I'm actually making more. You know, that maybe there's where the fallacy is, that if you make more and you pay more in taxes, you're actually making less because that's not what happens. You're not actually making less. You are still making more.
I know, that was one of the things, too. I've been reading comments on some of these pages, and it's like, well, if you raise the taxes, you're just going to encourage the rich to make less money. Okay, why would you do that? You know, you making less money means, okay, the government doesn't get as much, but you don't get as much.
Well, there is that. Yeah, there is that. The guy called yesterday, or maybe it was today. I think it was today, where the guy called and said, I don't understand why maybe it happened both days. I don't understand why union men and women continue to call themselves Republicans and vote for Republicans when all they're doing is hurting themselves because of the policies that Republicans create that have done nothing but hurt the middle class. Well, who am I to argue that? Of course that's a problem. I totally get that. I don't know how to explain it. People ask me to explain it all the time. I don't know how to explain it. It's uncomfortable for me, but it's the truth. All right, let's do what we didn't do yesterday.
And now, the last word with Tony.
Ah, music. Music fills the soul. Music, ladies and gentlemen, evokes emotion, can incite anger, even violence at that level. I don't know. It seems to me that depending on where you're at in your life or what's going on in a particular moment, music can either help or hurt. It can uplift or push down. And music is one of those things that, again, depending on where you're at a given time, if you're at a rave, well, that music will probably, you know, want my head to explode, but not necessarily yours. Music, ladies and gentlemen, is really a language unto itself. And maybe we need to create more beautiful music. We have protest music. We have rock and roll. We have classical and country. We have hip-hop. We have so many different kinds of music, and we should probably have a recipe book for it. Yes, music, as in a music cafe, as in a musical, as in just pure, beautiful music. Whether it's a cappella, accompaniment, like I'm being accompanied right now, music, ladies and gentlemen, can solve problems, but it can also create them. But music, in its purest form, is an expression, is a language, and let us not forget that. Maybe it is through music that we will find a way to bridge the gap between them and us. And who are they? Well, we'll let the music decide. That'll be do it for me for today. For Jeff and Todd, thank you very much for this wonderful audience. I love you. Thank you for being here on a daily basis. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. Did we do a song of the day today?
Yeah, I posted it.
I'm going to kick your butt. Tana, kick your butt. We got to go. As always, be well.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our last look at the roads include that slow going through our construction zone on M59. Anybody trying to even make their way toward Rochester Road, you're seeing the big backups trying to head toward Crooks to Opdyke. 75 south, it's been slow from Big Beaver all the way down to about 8 Mile. Part of that from an earlier accident near 696 that's been cleared. Northbound also seeing delays from an earlier accident. The Ruthers heavy between 75 and Southfield. 94 has been pretty slow trying to head west in toward Van Dyke and into 75 and M10 and 96. 96 has been slow coming in from Milford. 275 has also had pockets of very heavy slow traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service includes a chance of rain throughout the day. Look for a high near 78. Right now it's a light fog and mist at the airport and 63 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.